have been in contact with a number of members of the Liberal Party, together also with the Minister for Agriculture, who did respond saying that the island would be subject to biosecurity measures and that the government would not be abandoning the island. However, what he failed to answer was the future of the vet on Flinders Island.
What assurances are you looking for?
Oh, well, look, what we would dearly love is a continuation of the existing arrangements. And over the years, we've seen rationalisation of government involvement in agriculture from the halcyon days of the 1970s when I first came to the island. And we had a district ag advisor, we had a stock inspector, and we would have a visiting vet, virtually a vet on call if there were some real issues. Now, that's all been streamlined. We've lost the ag advisor, we've lost the stock inspectors, and the residential veterinary person now has to do quarantine work, be a disease control officer, offer a private clinical service, which he charges clients for, but he also gets paid for these government roles. And without the combination of the two, even though we have some 35,000 head of beef cattle and 100,000 sheep on the island, together with small animals, which are part of a population of 820 people, it's difficult for completely private vet to earn sufficient money to survive. And at times, John has to leave the island and get some locums to survive. So it's a bit of a unique situation. We're relatively isolated, and the costs of flying in vets, for example, if we have a snake bite case, which is an urgent situation, and there's not a vet here, the end result is plain, and the animal will die, and people will be required to euthanize stock in that sort of situation.
You've mentioned the unusual circumstance of snake bites, but apart from that, what sort of animal health issues require the services of a vet?
Oh, look, particularly with cattle and calving issues, it's rather reassuring to have a technician in the background that can help. We also use the vets for pregnancy diagnosis work and determining which animals to keep and which ones have to be sold. Cancer eye issues in cattle. John is also, in his role as quarantine officer and part of animal welfare, is usually at leave the island, so he inspects the stock that are being loaded. He likes also to be informed of what stock are coming into the island. And that's part of animal welfare, which is just critical today, because all stock, apart from a small abattoir here, have to be shipped out live through to Bridport and then trucked to a slaughterworks. So, look, as you can see, it's a multi-task function. It requires someone with good experience and understanding of disease. And, of course, the demand from the small animal owners is always present, anything from car accidents through to requiring to castrate cats and assist dogs and watching various health issues. John has provided an excellent service.
In the scheme of things, one position in a government that's looking at, you know, 1,000 positions or more to scrap, how do you rate your chances of pulling this back from the brink?
Well, I've always had great faith in people power, Rose, and I guess I'm talking to you to perhaps seek support from not only islanders but other people who love animals and can see particularly welfare issues that could result, and to hope that sanity will prevail. I think that if they simply put a biosecurity person in place on the island, we will get a fly-in weeds officer or some other expert who will simply fly in and fly out. Whereas animal issues, anything from domestic animals through to control of feral animals, in my opinion, requires the presence of a veterinary officer who's residential on the island.